Hello, everyone. Sorry to prevent you from going to lunch. I know it's a difficult time. And for those of you who know me, you'll know that speaking to you about plastic for only 5 minutes is probably the biggest challenge I've ever faced, even bigger than the negotiations themselves, because there are a lot of things to say about it. And also, some of the things I will say now you might have heard before, you may hear again, but I keep on being repeated or told by my comms people that messages need to be heard 7 times from 7 different people in 7 different ways to actually get to you, so be ready. I'm going to be repeating to you some of the things you might have heard. But really what I want to focus on is how to define the problem. If we want to find good solutions, and whatever solution we design and we want to implement, and will have to be implemented through the plastic treaty, through some engagement by at local level, by different sectors, by organizations, but for that, we need to define the problem appropriately, and we need to make sure what we're trying to solve. And as Diana was saying, we've been working on this issue for many, many, many years, and there's some message that I've been saying since probably 2015, and still, I feel like I have to say it because still a lot of the conversation is about plastic waste, what it does. People don't necessarily understand. So now I'm going to give you a very basic plastic 101, what the problem is, and possibly go into some solution. But then probably by the time I get to solution, it will be too late. So first, in order to define the problem, we have to define what we're talking about. What is plastics? These are spaghettis, not plastics, as you can see. But still, in order to understand the possible health impacts, it's very important to go back. And I use this examples of this metaphor, and it has limitation. But you have to imagine plastic is a combination of materials. First, you have the polymers, very long chains of carbon material that have properties of their own. Those are the spaghettis in our plastics. Then you have additives, non-intentionally added substances, and everything. Everything that makes your plastic transparent, rigid, supple, UV resistant, watertight, airtight, whatever. In order to provide specific properties to your polymers, you have to add all of these different things. And some of the next speakers might speak about it. There are over 15,000 chemicals that have been identified as what gets into plastic. And so when you're talking about plastics, what you're really talking about is this. It's a combination of many, many, many materials that come in many, many different forms and shape. And that is an issue because plastic is very versatile and it actually represents a lot of different things. So what are the two main things we need to understand in order to solve the actual problem? First of all, we're not just talking about plastics, and we need to identify and distinguish the impacts, the physical impacts from the plastic particles, the way it can block some physiological processes, the way it lodges in your body, etc. So you have the physical impacts of plastics and the impacts of the various chemicals, over 15,000, 16,000, that are associated with it. And we've heard before from WHO and others what some of those impacts are. And I could talk to you a lot about this, believe me, to the point where you would not want me to talk to you about anymore. But what I want to leave you with here is understanding that you have to understand and distinguish from these two kinds of impacts. And the impacts are numerous, and they impact every aspect of our physiological functioning, every aspect of our body. And many of those chemicals are either documented toxics, carcinogenic, mutagenic, endocrine disruptors, or have just zero information about them. And that is already one of the big issues why asking for information and transparency. You would think that by this point, that is something that everybody would know and it's a lesson that we would have learned. It's not. So again, distinguishing from plastics and chemicals and striving for transparency and understanding of what is even in the spaghettis that we're eating. Sorry, the plastics that we're eating. We're eating just as much of one or the other anyway. The second key message that I want to leave you with is, and we've heard about this before, this is not about waste. Health impacts have been documented, and by documented, I mean have been the object of hundreds of publications in peer-reviewed journals about the health impacts that happen at every single stage of the life cycle. We're talking about extraction and transport. So, as you know, 99% of the plastic is made out of fossil fuel, gas, oil, coal in certain places, naphtha, and others. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and God knows they're not green radicals about this. I mean, we all know this. The US EPA has identified among the chemicals that are used for fracking the gas that is being used to make plastic, over 170 chemicals that are known, documented, to be carcinogenic, mutagenic, or have an impact on Earth. So before the plastic is even a material, here you've already have impact and the exposure pathways at inhalation, ingestion. But here, again, before the plastic even becomes a material, a bottle or a clicker, you already have communities that have been suffering impacts. And where this is, and yeah, so I'll leave it to that because then I think I'm getting too close on time. Same thing happens around refining and manufacture. And it's not just for the workers, it's for the population that live around this. A lot of the plastic is made in petrochemical hubs because plastic is petrochemicals. It depends on a steady flow of fossil material that has to be refined and then transformed in different types of plastic, the pasta mix that we saw before, and then turned into a particular object. These areas are called Cancer Alley for a reason, because the rate of cancer of the population, the fence line communities that live around those facilities, is orders of magnitude what you find elsewhere in the same countries. Again, we don't even have a plastic bottle yet. We're still working on refining and creating pellets, and still the health impacts have been major. Same thing for consumer use. We've heard about this. We're eating, we're breathing, we're touching plastic, and the chemicals and the plastic gets into our body. The waste management, again, you have a multiplication of impacts, and you'll probably have access to all the slides, and there are a little more details. I'm not going to read about this. And at every stage as well, both chemicals and plastic, once it exists after the refining, gets thrown into the environment and multiplies the exposure again. So that's it. Those are the two key messages. I'll leave you with one more because it was talked upon by a previous speaker, but that is also something that I think we need to understand. By reading the newspaper, you may think that our plastic problem is getting better. We're actually making less of it, and we're getting better at protecting ourselves from it. The actual production of plastic is following an exponential curve and rise. And while we produce more plastic, exposure at every stage of the life cycle also continues, because every bit of plastic that is ever manufactured is going to end up in the environment or in our body. And so at the heart, there's no silver bullet solution. We're going to have to implement a lot of different things at all of the different stages. But at the heart of it, if we don't reduce the amount of plastic we produce, we're not going to reduce the amount of plastics and chemicals we're exposed to, and there is no way we're going to reduce the health impacts that are documented. Quite the opposite, they're going to keep on rising. So thank you very much for your attention.